Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey EU Startups, if you're running a startup like me, you have more than enough on your plate. So when a prospect asks if your company is ISO 27001 or SOC 2 compliant, you're probably thinking, how the heck are we going to do this? We don't have the time, we don't have the manpower, and we definitely don't have the know-how. That's where Sitel comes in. With our automated platform and in-house expert to manage the entire process for you, you'll get compliant super fast. Compliance has never been easier.
So if you need help with compliance, visit sitale.ai/EU startups. That's sitale.ai/EU startups for $1,000 off your first framework. Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My next guest is Miran Galis, founder and CEO of Sitale. Sitale is the global leader in security compliance automation, helping companies get compliant and stay compliant with security frameworks like SOC 1, SOC 2, ISO 27001. And then I have more names, including HIPAA, GDPR, and PCI DSS, and more without breaking a sweat. And the point is that I just broke a sweat while actually naming them all. So my question is, how are you doing it all without breaking a sweat? And what's Sitale's mission in one line? Like, maybe we can hear you, elevator pitch, but imagine the elevator is falling.
Of course, we're helping cloud companies to get compliant and stay compliant when it comes for security, privacy, and AI compliance. This is in a nutshell. How are we doing that? Is by providing the best technology and automation to help our customers and business partners to manage their security compliance lifecycle from very early stage, where early stage startups, when they just raise their pre-seed or seed round, all the way to IPO. And you need to understand, startups need compliance to grow, to sell, to sign deals. This is a tool that helps them to build trust through compliance, but also to show and prove that they've been taking the extra mile when it comes for building a solid trust infrastructure. And I want to repeat on the trust aspect, because security is important for everyone, especially for your customers. Because in the world of today, if you think about it, then your data is actually not stored only in your vendor, but also in your vendor's vendor, right? Mm-hmm. And your customer's data might be also your customer's customer's data. So this is like huge chain where data just go from one side to the other side. And this is why it's so critical to remain the highest strict security controls, because you want to prove that customer can trust you and customer can trust on your organization. Customers can trust on your technology, on your platform. And the best way to prove that is through third-party audits like global certifications, attestation reports, standards, regulations, anything alike. So this is why startups need to have compliance. And we're helping them through our technology and real humans, compliance experts, that take them all the way from the starting point to the finish line and beyond, making sure that they are staying compliant.
Awesome. Miran, I just wanted to say, I just wanted to compliment you, because I really like the way you answer questions. It's very insightful at the same time, very crisp. I know that already because we met just a couple of days ago, in Malta during the EU Startup Summit when I was moderating one of your panels. And I want to ask you, what's the first thing a founder always gets wrong about compliance?
That's a great question. Look, they think that it's very complex, that it's going to cost a lot of money, that it's going to take a lot of time, and you know, they might not have the knowledge, neither the resources, or sometimes the money to to get compliant. But this is very essential in early stage. Startups need to understand, and I see this many times when I speak with first time founders to second time founders. You can see the like the difference on the first meeting. First time founders, their approach is to spend the minimum money as possible all the time, and they push as much as they can their compliance processes because they don't want to spend the money and allocate the resources. But they need to understand that this is actually a go-to-market tool, compliance go-to-market. And your investors or VCs, they care about what's your go-to-market when it comes for compliance. For example, if you're selling, if you're a startup that's selling into Europe, might be United Kingdom or Germany, you might need to be compliant with ISO 27001. This is an information security management system. This is a voluntary certification. And one thing you can do for your compliance. And you might also need, most likely, you will need to be GDPR compliant. Now, GDPR is a regulation. It's not voluntary. This is the law. So if you want to be compliant with the law, you need to implement all the relevant controls for GDPR. You need to understand what's the law, what's the regulation. You need to break it down, all the different clauses. You need to build control system, internal control system. And then you need to understand which testing procedure you need to put in effect to make sure that you are compliant and monitor the effectiveness of your internal controls. So this is very relevant for startups selling to Europe. Now we see also the DORA, and depend on the industry you are, the country you are, NIS 2, it's for infrastructure, critical infrastructure in Europe. On the other side, if startups sell into the United States, they will need to be compliant with SOC 2. Now, SOC 2 is actually an attestation report. This is not a certification, which is kind of different, say same, but different if you compare this to ISO 27001. The auditor is different, the approach is different, the methodology is different, but the controls might be the same. So what startups should know, usually most of them will need either SOC 2 or ISO 27001. In a later stage, they will need both of them, most likely. So this is very critical to understand that first-timers, they will try to push it to the end until they're going to sign the agreement with their prospect, and then they will come to us and tell us this is number one priority, this is super urgent, and they need it yesterday. And we had a customer lately that almost lost a deal because they didn't add SOC 2 report. Everything was cool. Everything was going very good. They actually passed the champion. They loved their product. They went through legal. Legal was all right. And then they ended up in the security department. And the security was, okay, please send us your SOC 2 report. Didn't add any. And that's created a problem. And they sent them the first email was, we cannot continue the process with you guys. So this is why it's so critical. This is a growth tool that companies need to understand when they are building their compliance portfolio model.
100%. Miran, actually talking about, not losing the deals because of this particular issue. If you were creating the CITL compliance checklist now, what would make the list and why?
The list of what exactly?
A checklist, like a compliance checklist. What startups should do,
All right. First, I would say you need to understand. You need to build your compliance portfolio model. All right. What it says in simple words: understand where your customers are. You're selling to which region, to which country, to which industry. If you're selling into the insurance, banking, health tech, healthcare, you know, it's different. There are different regulations depend on the industry and depend on the region. So that will be the number one priority. Once you understand what framework, certification, anything like is relevant to you, you need to understand as a next step, what's the current state of the company? How far are you from being compliant with any one of those? All right. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to do that, you will need to do gap analysis to understand the difference between the current state, which this is how the company operates today, to the desired state, which that mm-hmm. might be ISO 27001. Now, many times for startups, that might be a blocker or just hold them back. So what they do constantly is they trying to pull up the expert or bring any technology that can assist them throughout the process. Mm-hmm. And this is what we do, all right? But even before, I'd love to say how we can help startups to automate their compliance and manage everything. What they can do in person is to map their data flows. All right, it's very important. They will need mm-hmm. to create policies and procedures and standards and guidelines. Yes, it needs to be in writing. Because now, when you are small, it might be easy. You just couple of employees, maybe dozens, couple of dozen. Still simple, everyone sitting in a couple of rooms. But as long as you're going to grow up and you're going to scale, you will need to make sure that everyone in the company are working based on the protocol that you define, based on the policy. Because this is the only way to scale. If everyone is going to do whatever he wants, then it's just mm-hmm. going to be chaotic. Right? It's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that people understand and everything makes sense. And this is in a simple language. So this is why it's so important to write your policies and procedures. And then you will need to figure out what's your moving forward. Are you looking for a consultant? Are you looking to hire a full-time CISO? You're mm-hmm. looking to work with a compliance automation platform. And by the way, what we do is we help him customer with the tech and with the people. So we're giving them a combining solution. So it's, we can automate and centralize everything they need in one place, collect the evidence, save a lot of time, and then start automating their compliance and communicating with them directly mm-hmm. through Slack channel, Zoom meetings, and everything. So that's important. And then the next step will be to choose your external auditor. For mm-hmm. GDPR, you don't need an auditor. This is a regulation. It's mainly a self-assessment. You need a data protection lawyer that understands the law. But for other frameworks, for SOC 2, you will need an auditor. It needs to be a CPA firm, a certified accountant company firm. Mm-hmm. And for ISO, it might be BSI in Europe or different accreditation bodies. So you will need to work with external auditor and they will come and test the company. And my biggest advice is if you already doing something, so if you put in the time and effort, at least get some value out of that. You know, don't only check the box. Mm-hmm. Really try to understand what's important to you. For example, sometimes companies need to install a unifying the endpoint management system. Mm-hmm. Now, many of the customers think it's an overkill. They don't really need that. They're working with MacBook. It's pretty secure. But what happens if someone steals your one of your employees' computer? What happens if you lost a computer? Mm-hmm. What happens if you have a remote employee and then you need to let them go and they don't want to return the computer? Do you have can you lock it from remote? Do you have remote wipe capabilities? Do you have patch management capabilities to make sure always they update in their operating system? Do you have access to manage their password policy to make sure it's complex and effective? So this mm-hmm. is just some examples. So you'll and everyone that listen will be able to understand what the auditor will be looking for.
Mm. Miran, what's harder, building trust with customers or scaling a trust-based startup?
I think building the trust, that's the most important because once you set up a relationship, it's easier to trust, you know, because you know the person knows you, They start to understand your organization. You start working together. We understand our customers' needs and pains and org structure and technology and tech stack. So it's easier to build trust once you set up some level of trust. But setting up the first level of trust is it's very important, and it's very challenging because folks out there, they've been seeing a lot. You know, they've been out there, they've been browsing. They know the market, you know. So you want to make sure that there is only a first time for first impression, right? So you want to make the first impression right. You want to show and you want to prove that you always take the extra mile when it comes for your security and compliance. So they can rest assured that they made the best decision possible in that matter by choosing you, choosing your company. Because they already know, most likely they already know that your solution is phenomenal, is fantastic. It can help them a lot. There is a proper use case. They want to try it out. And in many cases, the one that's going to put the red flag might be the security team, might be the compliance team. Sometimes it's the legal team. But someone's going to come and ask those questions of how do you manage security? They want to see that, let's say, you don't leave the door open, you know? They want to make sure that you close the door, that you lock the door, and that you do everything that's possible when it comes for prevention, when it comes for a handling situation, when it comes for recovery, that you understand what you are talking about. So this is why security is such a big deal for everyone, for enterprise customer, mid-market customer, governments, literally everyone.
Miran, but on the other hand, you know, founders, especially early stage founders, they love shortcuts. What's one shortcut in compliance that's a total trap?
Like, I think just use CITEL because this is what we've been doing for a while. You know, we've been there, we've done that for thousands of time actually. And that really will be the fastest shortcut because combining tech and expert, I think it's kind of the mindset, take it out of your mind and take it out of your plate.
There's no traps there. You know, like you use CITEL and traps are avoided.
Exactly, because someone is helping you to understand. First, we see in the organization from the outside. So we have an outsider perspective. Then we use our technology. So our technology can integrate with your tech stack. It can automatically collect all the relevant evidence. It can show you non-compliance issues in real time. It can give you modules that you need in order to mature your compliance program. It gives you an expert that walk with you all the time. If you have any question, if you don't understand, it's kind of like your PMO for your compliance. Now, you can also go to our website, to CITEL, CYTALE, AI, and there are a bunch of free stuff that we just share with startups because we work so closely with startups. We understand their mindset. They need to move fast. They don't have too many resources. And they want to get it done. Okay. Sometimes they ask, what's the minimum required to get it done and make me compliant? So we get that. We're working with hundreds of startups globally, many of them in Europe. And this is why it's important. So if you need something today with ChatGPT, it's even easier. You can find so much data in our website. It's centralized. Everything is just over there. You can go out and read to understand. But eventually, remember where you want to put the time and what's the return on investment. Yeah. Now, depend on your role, but if you're a founder, I guess that what you would want to do is to hire the best talents, is to sell the product, it's to build the best technology out there, maybe find funding for your company. You know, you want to focus on the core elements that has the biggest impact on the success of your organization.
Hey, listen, AI is touching everything, right? even security and compliance. How is Cytel using or thinking about AI right now?
Oh, that's a great question. Look, AI is massive, eh? It's literally changing the world on a such a level, you know, exponential level, that literally every week you can see like massive changes. And we understand, and always regulation and technology is lagging behind, always compliance is lagging behind technology. Mm. And that's okay, but regulation is coming. Regulation, when it comes for AI, it's out there. It's not only coming, it's already exists. If you look on Europe, you have the EU AI Act. This is one regulation regarding AI that's effective in Europe since August 2024. So you need to understand if you under the criteria that you need to be compliant with AI, with all of the generative AI modules. If you use them, might be within your product, and sometimes it's only if you use them as part of the company operation. So we all companies with EU AI Act, with ISO 42001, this is AI management system for compliance, part of the ISO group. And there are some other stuff that are we supporting when our customer get and stay compliant with AI. This is one thing. Now, the other thing is we enabling them technology and features within our product so they could get better insight and better understanding and just improve the quality of the process, the speed, and you know, just to drive results when it comes to using AI to get in your company compliant by doing a bunch of stuff, such as building AI Revidence Reviewer, connecting policies and control through AI, adding AI risk assessment. And what we're doing and going to release it very soon, it's now in beta stages, but it's building the first ever GRC AI bot. Now, because we have the experience being consultants and being the technology, a SaaS company, we understand both the tech and we have the data from the consulting. So we aggregating everything together on our internal research when it comes for the business logics of some of the features we have. And we want to give our customers the best solution out there to get compliant and stay compliant with AI and manage their compliance for our technology and the AI tech.
Awesome. Miran, towards the end of this podcast, let's get a bit more personal and have some fun. I want to ask you about like a biggest facepalm moment since starting Cytel or call it the fuck up. Tell us about it.
Oh, man, it's so tough. There are so many, you know. Now I just need to choose one of those. Look, I think on the one end, startup is the most difficult, challenging things you're ever going to do in your life. It's like a roller coaster. Some days and weeks are the best ever. Some days and weeks are the worst. On the other side, that's going to be the best thing you're ever going to do in your life. You just feel that you fulfill yourself. So it's kind of balancing the two. And if you come with the right mindset that you're constantly learning, build, measure, learn, iterate, right? Like the Lean Startup book. So this is what you need to do. You just need to come open-minded, measure everything, stay positive, motivate the team, find the best team out there that really believe in your vision, that believe in the goal, that believe in you, that want to be part of that. And challenges just going to come constantly in tech, all right? We started with cloud innovation and SaaS model and subscription, and now we see the AI. There was a couple of stuff that were going on the global economy, massive layoffs in the biggest tech giants all over the world. Wars in Europe, in Israel, you know, it's everything. Now AI, which is changing everything. So you just need to adapt fast and embrace the change and, you know, look it up in the eyes and just come with everything you have and trust your gut feeling that it's going to be okay. And just don't give up, because it's an experimental process. Just no one really has the best answer for you. So it's on you and your team, and understanding that you are not alone in the process, and you embrace the change, that you have the best people around you. I think that's one of the most critical elements in the process.
Miran, let's end with a fun one. Maybe you could describe Sitel's future in just three words.
That one is interesting. Only three words. I'd say build scalable trust.
Nice. I like this one. Or you could say,
now you come. I have like so many things in my mind that I want to say. Need to limit it to three stuff. To three words. It's difficult.
That's the challenge. You know what you said. In Malta, when I asked, how would you rebrand compliance? You said, comply or die.
Yeah. You remember
also
that?
Also three words.
Also three words. Maybe that's the right answer. That's, by the way, that's the truth. That's the truth. This is critical. The bottom line is comply or die, because if you don't have compliance, you can't grow your business. It's just part of the maturity of the company. I think it was General McCarthy that says, if you think compliance is expensive, you should try non-compliance.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, you can see the fine in the... Man. What's that?
That would be expensive then. You should try no compliance, huh?
Yeah, if you think compliance, you can lose deals. You can lose business partners. You can get fines by the regulator. Yeah. You can lose trust. You can lose so many things without compliance. So if you're really understanding what's the return on investment, that it's not only a security tool, but it's also a trust tool, a growth tool, something that supports the company go to market. If you're going to sell in Japan or in South Africa or in Australia or in Latin America, every region, every country has their own regulation, standardization, stuff that they do over there. Now, if you want to scale globally, you need to manage this process effectively, because doing everything manually, it's impossible. Maybe it was possible 20, 30 years ago when there were not so many systems within any organization.
Yeah.
But today, companies working remotely, they're growing super fast. They're using hundreds, sometimes thousands of SaaS applications internally. And managing everything and pulling everything into a single source of truth, that can be challenging. And you want to focus your energy in a startup, either if you are the CEO, you want to focus on growth and business and selling and recruitment. And if you're a CTO, maybe it might be the architecture and scalability and performance and features. And again, hiring the best talents, you don't want to waste your time on stuff that doesn't have the biggest impact, that might have the biggest impact on the success of the company.
100%, Miran. So last answer, what are the three words for the future of Sitel?
Comply or die.
There we go. Comply or die. Thank you so much, Miran, for taking the time and joining me on the show today. I think it's been awesome and very insightful conversation. People love it. And I hope to see you soon, either in Tel Aviv or maybe somewhere around Europe.
Sounds amazing. Looking forward for that. And thank you so much, Marcin.